Dear friends in Christ, quite a few years ago when I lived on the West Coast, I went looking for the best burrito in Southern California. After searching and inquiring, I decided to take someone's recommendation, and I headed to Raul's in one of the neighboring beach towns. Well, Raul's ended up being this small little shack that was pretty much buried between some other buildings. And I started thinking, Raul's? I wonder if my friend Bob, who happened to be the doctor who basically birthed all six of our children, good friend, I wondered if he who had given me this recommendation was pulling something over. Maybe he was trying to play a little joke on me. Raul's? But then as I got just a little bit closer, I saw this huge line of people. Wow. This simple little place was amazing. The unimpressive impressed. The common looking wasn't so common. This wasn't a place where I certainly would have looked to try to find something so amazing, the best burrito in Southern California. I think this little story leads us to consider a spiritual question. Where are you looking? Where are you looking for the best? For the most needed part, the most needed thing in your life? And we're not talking about burritos or barbecue or even a good fish fry. Where are you looking for the kingdom of God? Some church leaders asked Jesus about the kingdom of God. This happened just a few months before Jesus would walk into Jerusalem to give up his life. We read the words of our text from Luke 17. Once, on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." To the Pharisees who had asked about the kingdom of God, Jesus' answer really made no sense. Jesus didn't have an army. He wasn't rising in the ranks of Jewish leadership. He just wasn't, in their way of thinking, what they were looking for. He wasn't the one to bring about their delivery from this long, oppressive Roman leadership. Jesus just wasn't displaying the clout. He wasn't displaying the political prowess to establish their kingdom, to establish the kingdom that they wanted. He just wasn't what they were looking for. What he was exactly what Isaiah prophesied 700 years earlier when he described the Messiah. He wrote, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him." But this unimpressive, common-looking Jesus gave a clear answer to their question about the kingdom of God. He told them, "The kingdom of God is in your midst." The Pharisees had the kingdom of God right in front of them, face to face. As John wrote, "The Word, Jesus, became flesh and lived a while among them." They were looking, they were searching for the wrong thing. They missed it completely. They wanted to know when the kingdom that they wanted would come. But Jesus answered that God's kingdom isn't focused on when, or on where, but on who? On himself, on Jesus, who had said to the crowds a bit earlier, "The kingdom of God has come to you." Where are you looking for the kingdom of God? Are you looking for the kingdom of God as the first commandment would remind us, above all things? Are you looking for the kingdom of God more than anything else in your life? Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is in your midst." Wherever people hear the words of our Savior Jesus and the Holy Spirit is working in their hearts, the kingdom of God is there. In John, Jesus had said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit." And in another place, Jesus obviously said, "The kingdom of God is not of this world." In this second petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," the Catechism really states it well. The kingdom of God is Christ's rule in our hearts through His Word. Through His Word. Those three words are highly instructive. But you've heard them. You've heard it over and over and over again. You've heard the importance of spending time in God's Word, the importance of spending time with Jesus, whether it's here or at home or anywhere. Perhaps we've heard it so much that it's become ordinary. Spending time at home in prayer, ordinary. Reading the Bible, ordinary. Taking a few moments for a personal devotion, ordinary. Sunday school, Lutheran elementary school for children, again, ordinary stuff. Ordinary activities connected, though, to an extraordinary kingdom. To a kingdom where Christ rules in hearts through His Word. How extraordinary God's kingdom truly is. It's where God offers complete forgiveness for every sin. It's where God strengthens faith through word and sacrament. It's where troubled hearts, struggles, illnesses, guilt, and even death ultimately don't win. God's kingdom is in your midst as you hear and believe His Word. So keep listening. Keep learning. Keep reading. Treasure that word. Savor it. What possession, what activity, what job, what person should ever demand our interest, our energy, or our resources more than the kingdom of God? I never would have found that best burrito in Southern California if I had gone searching on my own. I know I would have given up. I would have been distracted. I would have been misguided. I would have probably tried to find something closer, something more convenient, something fancier, something a little pricier, something where I could at least have sit-down service. What are your challenges? What are your distractions as you pursue and prioritize the kingdom of God in your life? I'd love to spend more time worshiping God. I'd love to spend more time studying His Word. I'd love to spend more time listening to Jesus, but there's a lot of demands on life. I mean, my goodness, all the activities, just with my kids, games, practices, etc. And then I've got my video games and my social media time and in that new popular television series. And what about bettering myself for my job and the homework that I have? And certainly we need a little downtime, a little recreation. Yeah, we face a lot of distractions and a lot of challenges. And honestly, we sometimes just simply struggle to get our priorities right. I know I do. We push off pursuing the most important things as life just kind of flies right by us and right over us. A devotion that I recently read offered this reminder. The devil wants to rob Christians of God's word. He desires to keep us from the one thing necessary. Through persecution and hardship, he tries to entice Christians to stop listening to the voice of God. Through comfort and ease, the devil tempts Christians to exchange the treasures of God's word for the pleasures of this world. Through Christless societies, Satan stirs up a spirit of opposition to God's truth. Don't you think that distractions and misplaced priorities cause us to spend way, way too much time in pursuing the wrong things? And not enough time with the kingdom of God, which is right in our midst, which is right among us? A little guilt? Jesus forgives you and me. He really does. What you and I have as members of the kingdom of God is incredible. Perhaps the following approach that I'll describe a little bit about how to spend time with God and His Word will help you as you pursue and as you live in the kingdom of God. Think about the difference about how you might approach God's Word informationally and how you might approach God's Word relationally. When we read and we listen and we study God's Word informationally, we're really tending to focus more on the knowledge that's there and gaining it and almost treating it as though we're maybe reading just another book. When we read and listen and spend time with God's Word relationally, we're not just focusing on the knowledge, which obviously is extremely important, but then also we're focusing on the love of God. How great our God is, that we're spending time in that Word with a personal God who in His power created the whole universe and created us. And in His love, sent His Son to be our Savior. Yes, we're spending time with a personal God. Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you. For you, that's personal. Jesus, hanging on a cross for you. That's personal. Jesus, suffering the indescribable agony of hell for you. That's personal. Jesus rising from the dead and promising that you too will rise from the dead. That's personal. Jesus promising you a place in the eternal glory of heaven. That's personal. When you sit down with the Bible, you're not just book reading. You're spending time with a personal, powerful, loving God. The kingdom of God is in your midst. Maybe you've heard this story of the two readings of the 23rd Psalm. First, a great orator got up and he recited the psalm. And he impressed the crowd. They said, he knows that psalm. And then a seasoned old pastor preacher got up and he recited the psalm. And he deeply moved the crowd and they said, he knows the shepherd. Think of approaching God in the same way you might read a very special letter. You know, the old-fashioned kind where you took out paper and a pen and put it in an envelope with a stamp. Think about that. When a mom receives a letter from a son or daughter who's been serving overseas for months or maybe longer, or when a fiancé receives a love letter from his or her sweetheart, let me tell you, they're reading that letter relationally, not informationally. When they see those words, they recognize that there's a person connected, a person with a close, deep, loving relationship. Those words then in that letter are cherished. They're soaked in. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be read over and over and over again. Think of the letter. Think of the words that you've received from your good shepherd, from your Savior God. Oh, come, let us adore Him, the King, who rules in our hearts through His Word. Where are you looking for the kingdom of God? Where are you looking for the best and for the most important part of your life? Christians and Christian education look for the kingdom of God by keeping Jesus and His Word right in the center of every aspect of their life. And it's kept there. It's kept central through the common, through the ordinary, through regular church worship and church Bible study, through regular home worship and home Bible study. It's kept central by putting your kids to bed with Jesus. It's kept central by waking them up in the morning with Jesus. Food and water, including a Raul's Brito, may keep us physically functioning. God's Word feeds and waters our souls. Every day you're going to face choices like straw or grain. One choice you're going to have every single day is whether or not to spend time listening to Jesus and His Word. There's going to be a lot of other great things to do, like serving your family and serving your neighbor and serving your community and serving others, even yourself. Don't let those good things or any other thing crowd out that which is most important. Where are you looking for the kingdom of God? Keep looking. And never stop searching the treasure of God's Word, which points you right to Jesus. Then you have everything you need. Amen.